Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Hey, Jim, have you ever found a gray hair on your head?
No.
You haven't?
No, I have not. But, I mean, I don't know. Have you ever seen one on my head?
No, but one time I saw one on my hairbrush.
And you thought, who snuck in here and put this gray hair on my hairbrush?
Yeah, probably. I looked at it and I was like, I feel like I should feel some type of way about this, but I don't. However, I was with my roommate and we were chatting about this phenomenon. You know, have you ever seen it where like people have a traumatic event and then their hair turns white overnight?
I have not seen that. I have heard stories like that, but I've never seen that other than in, you know, season,
didn't that
season
happen
two of
in
Twin
Peaks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so we were talking about that and how does it happen and what is the chemistry behind gray hair? And I was like, I don't know. Let's get into it. So we're going to talk about that. If it happens, how it happens, all of the above.
Okay. How hair turns gray.
How hair turns gray.
Okay.
And why?
All right.
All right, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm GM.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life,
the podcast set up to understand the chemistry of your everyday life.
Okay, so we're going to talk about gray hair today, and I'm so excited.
I am too. I'm very interested in this, and as usual, I did not know we were going to talk about this, but Melissa knows that I have strong opinions about hair and gray hair, and I think it's cool. So if you're
aging
out there,
in general, you have opinions about aging.
Totally. And I'm sure, I know I'm not the only one, but if you cracked open this episode and you're like, oh, gray hair, and you're in a spot where you maybe have some that you wish you didn't have or whatever, and you're thinking, I don't want to listen to this episode, we're gray positive around here.
Yeah.
So
that's why I didn't feel any type of way when I saw it. I was like, this should feel monumental, but it just kind of feels like,
yeah,
there's a gray hair.
Yeah. So don't feel any shame. Don't feel weird. You can still listen to this. Very applicable.
And now there's a new trend called fairy extensions. And they're just sparkly hair. And that's what gray hair looks like anyway.
Huh. Nice. So people are trying to make it more appealing by selling it to people who don't already have it.
Who's to say what that trend's about?
Well, if that's, even if it's not on purpose, if that ends up being the accidental result, then cool.
Then you're happy with that?
Yep.
Okay, so primarily, I guess I'll start with this. Before we can talk about what makes our hair gray, we have to talk about what makes our hair not gray.
And what makes our hair hair? Actually, we talked about that, haven't we?
I think so, yeah. I was like, that's not in the scope. Beyond the scope, whenever we like submit papers to peer-reviewed journal articles, and so peers give us feedback and sometimes they'll be like, you should talk about this. And my favorite answer is like, beyond the scope. Okay. So beyond the scope, Jim, outside of this one. Okay. So primarily the pigment in our skin and in our hair is made up of all the same thing, which is?
Keratin?
No, close. That's what it's made up of, but the pigment.
Oh, the pigment. Ooh.
You've probably heard it before.
Is it alternating? No.
No.
Is it?
You heard it. It's like a common word.
A common
word. Like what makes darker skin darker.
Oh.
Mason called it the sleep medicine. He gets those two words mixed up.
Yeah, now I'm getting them mixed up. Okay, wait. Melanin. There we go.
Macy called it melatonin.
Yeah.
Which is not right.
I started to almost do that same thing, and then I had to like really sort through it. Yes, melanin. Got it.
Yes. Okay. So primarily the pigment in our skin, in our hair, is melanin. And I always thought melanin was like one single color. And it was like, okay, we have melanin. It's one type of molecule. No, it's not. It's two molecules. And so, there's two molecules that we commonly refer to as melanin because they're the most common pigments in all mammals' skin. And they're very commonly occurring in nature. And so those two pigments are, one is like a yellowish, reddish, lighter pheomelanin or pheomelanin. I'm going to probably say pheomelanin. And the other is brownish, blackish eumelanin.
Mm.
And the ratio at which this is combined determines everyone's hair color.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Just those two.
I think that's cool.
So you can have like, if you have a little bit more of the pheomelanin, you might get like a strawberry blonde. If you have less, it might just like look like a very blonde. Uh-huh. If you have more pheomelanin, then it looks more red. And then when we start getting our eumelanin in, that's when it starts getting darker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and it's just those two pigments. Isn't that cool?
That's super cool.
Okay, well, it gets even cooler.
Whoa.
Okay, well, I guess I'll say, before I say that, a reminder that pigments often are organic molecules, which means they have a carbon backbone. And the thing that you were mentioning, alternating double bonds. If carbon molecules have alternating double bonds, there's like, a way to think of it is there's a long chain of single bonds and then every other one has a double bond, which is really just extra electrons hanging out. And the long chain of single bond is almost like a highway that allows the electrons to move around and then it could absorb light at different levels. And that is why it can be highly colored. Mm. And if you want to learn more about color, go listen to like 100 of our other episodes about it. But that's what makes highly colored molecules. And so both of these pigments, eumelanin and pheomelanin, are organic molecules, carbon-based molecules with a lot of alternating double bonds, conjugation, and that's why they have this color to them.
Mm.
Okay. So a little reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what is even more exciting that I was going to say is, you know, really, we're the best organic chemists. Every person is the best organic chemist because our bodies make this. Just like with vitamin D, we are like little organic chemists in our body.
Right, right.
Okay, so for your hair follicle, in your hair follicle, you have little cells called, what are they called? Melanocytes.
Okay,
and they start with an amino acid building block. So a reminder of what an amino acid is amino is when you have an amine functional group. So a functional group is just a collection of atoms that act in an expected way. And amino acids have an amine functional group, which is just nitrogen with some hydrogens around it. And they have an acidic functional group, a carboxylic acid functional group, and they are sort of the building blocks to the proteins in our body and a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so the primary building block of melanin, of the two different types of melanin, is the amino acid let me make sure I wrote it down. Sorry, I lost my spot. I got so excited that I went off the page. Okay, so we start with amino acid building blocks of primarily tyrosine.
Okay.
And then there's another one that is, I think, cytosine maybe. I didn't write that one down. So we start with these amino acid building blocks, and then they are converted to melanin through melanogenesis.
Mm.
So one source I read said that means they're oxidized, polymerized, so linked together, a lot of different repeating units linked together, and modified in various ways to make these different colored forms.
Okay.
And so it's a pretty complex process, and it involves enzymes, including one called tyrosinase.
Okay.
So if you think of the building block of tyrosine, and then this enzyme that does work on it is called tyrosinase.
Okay.
So that is key to the production of melanin in these melanocytes.
Okay.
And then the melanocytes inject color. They inject the melanin into the hair follicle with the where there's keratin in our hair.
Okay.
Okay, so they inject it into the cells of our hair.
Okay.
Okay, so the melanocytes in the follicle of the hair, they inject pigment, and then we get our hair color.
Okay.
Okay, so that's our starting point.
Okay.
Okay. My water here. Okay, so now let's talk about why then when we get gray hair, why do we get gray hair as we get older? Why are we losing color?
Okay.
And when my roommate and I talked about this, she's in anatomy and physiology. So she immediately was like, it's probably just the melanocytes die. And I was like, what's a melanocyte? And so I like learned a little bit about this from her.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that is what was thought for a very long time, is just that these melanocytes that make the hair color die off over time due to maybe using up all the enzymes. Maybe there's free radical damage, which if you don't remember what free radicals are, it's like if you have an unpaired electron, electrons like to hang out in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a really good episode about that, which I think is the antioxidant episode.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about both of these concepts, the alternating double bonds and the free radicals. And did we do a specific episode on hydrogen peroxide?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. So that one too, on how, I think we did it on how it treats acne.
Mm-hmm.
So you can learn about free radicals there. There's also DNA. Our DNA gets damaged over time. So that could be maybe one of the reasons we go gray. And it is, a lot of it is determined by genetics. Mm. So there's just a theory, oh, these melanocytes die off. It's possibly for any of these reasons. But a 2009 paper came out that gave a little bit more in-depth of an idea here. So one of the enzymes that I mentioned, the tyrosinase, why can't I say that? Tyrosinase. It actually functions a little bit better with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
Okay, so we make some hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
And then another enzyme called catalase will break that hydrogen peroxide down, any leftover hydrogen peroxide. So we just use enough that it's going to help our tyrosinase make our melanin, and then it gets used up, right?
Okay.
And it gets broken down by the catalase, and then we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Okay.
But in this 2009 paper, they found that there was higher levels than you'd expect. Like, you wouldn't really expect any, but there was higher levels than you would expect of hydrogen peroxide in gray hair.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And so they also found that there's not enough catalase in gray hair.
Okay.
So what are you thinking right now?
Well, I was just thinking that if it's supposed to produce enough to help that pigment be created in the first place,
or
but then it's supposed to break it down. What's happening if there's too much hydroperoxide? What does that do to the pigment?
Well, it definitely would break down the pigment, but it also does something to the enzyme. There's like a sweet spot at which the enzyme, if it has a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, it functions better. And then if you have too much of it, it starts to go downhill.
Okay.
And it will eventually be irreversibly damaged.
Okay.
Okay, so the thought that you had was the same thought I had, was like, oh, there's too much hydrogen peroxide in there. We've talked about hydrogen peroxide can bleach things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the hydrogen peroxide is bleaching the hair. People use hydrogen peroxide to bleach their hair.
I did not know that, but it kind of makes sense.
Right.
But
Mason knew that.
Huh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Like, how do you know that? Anyway, so people use hydrogen peroxide to bleach their hair. So I thought, oh, it must be sort of like naturally bleaching our hair, but that's not the case.
It also just definitely looks different than bleached hair, so right. that might make sense, I guess. But.
Right. No, I think, and this study indicates, that perhaps that over time, our catalase actually stops being produced, and so we don't have enough catalase to break down the excess hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hydrogen peroxide starts to build up there in the follicle. And then that means that the tyrosinase, that enzyme that's important to make the melanin, can no longer function.
Mm.
It gets damaged to the point that it can't function anymore.
So the tyrosinase gets damaged.
Yes.
Okay.
And so then it can't make color to put color in your hair anymore.
So it's happening. Yeah. It's kind of affecting the process earlier than we were thinking.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
And here's something else that's interesting is actually this study also found there are other enzymes that would serve the purpose that could reverse damage to tyrosinase.
Mm-hmm.
So like say that there's free radicals just in the air, not from the hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a mechanism to fight against that negatively impacting the tyrosinase, but with that level of hydrogen peroxide, it's too much and they can't reverse the damage. So even our little safeguards that are protecting the enzyme that makes the hair color, even those are overwhelmed by the level of hydrogen peroxide in the hair.
Wow. Dang.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so that is our best guess right now about what's going on at the molecular level as to why we don't have what color in our hair as we get older.
Huh. Wow.
Okay, so do you want to take a stab at explaining that back to me?
Yes.
And then I can talk about a few other things like the phenomenon of the hair graying overnight and then maybe a theory I have about why the texture of the gray hair changes and that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, I'd love to.
Okay.
Can we review the terms that we've learned before I just try to launch into doing this poorly?
Yes.
So melanin, the different types of it, that is the pigment itself.
That's like the two pigments, the types of pigment. It's like a class of compounds, you know, the two melanins.
And then the melanocytes is site like the place? Like
yep, they're the place that the melanin gets made.
Okay, it gets made.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrosinase?
Yes. Tyrosine and tyrosinase.
The tyrosinase takes the melanin molecules of two different kinds and it puts them into the hair follicle?
No.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Great question. The tyrosinase takes the tyrosine. Okay. It's sort of the first step. It's much more complicated than this, it's easy to just think of it as like, okay, we have the tyrosine. And then it needs to go through, like, we'll say process A, B, C, and D. It's kind of like process A.
Okay.
To get from tyrosine to melanin.
Okay. So the tyrosinase and tyrosine happens first.
Yeah. The tyrosinase interacts with the tyrosine to make it eventually become melanin.
Okay. It becomes melanin. And then in the melanocytes... Mm-hmm. And then what's the thing that injects it? I forget.
The melanocytes then inject it.
Oh, melanocytes inject.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So within the melanocytes is where the melanin is synthesized. There's like a little organelle that does it. And I knew the name of it and then I didn't write it down.
And the melanocytes inject it and having a little bit of hydrogen peroxide helps that part or helps the tyrosine?
It helps the tyrosinase.
Okay. Tyrosinase helps the tyrosinase make tyrosine.
Yep. No. Helps the tyrosinase.
Interact
with the tyrosine. Sorry. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And make ultimately melanin.
Okay. And the, what's the thing that breaks catalase?
Catalase
breaks down the hydrogen peroxide.
Yes.
Okay. I was working on an analogy, but I needed to get everything right because I was about to confuse everyone.
Okay,
Or we had to stop a lot.
I can't wait to hear your analogy. I did drop a big word there, and I just want to make sure it's right. I said organelle, which is like a tiny part of a cell.
Right. I remember
that. So there's like a tiny...
mitochondria.
Yeah.
Ribosomes.
Yes,
endoplasmic
exactly.
reticulum.
Yes. So within every cell, there's like little things that do other things. And within the melanocyte, there is a little thing that makes the melanin, like where it happens within.
Okay. Okay, cool.
I wish I remembered what it was called. I want to say it was like melanoblasts or something, but yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's right.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Anyway, okay. So you have an analogy for me?
Yeah, it's not crazy though. It's like, it's the kind of thing we've used before, but this seems like when there's this many steps or something, the natural first thing that comes to my mind is like a factory, you know, there are steps to something or whatever. And so just imagining little people all having a little job, you know, and it's not going to be perfect because if I probably understood the deeper level of this, mm-hmm. it would mess things up where I'd need to get a lot more specific about what the factory is doing or whatever.
You can get a whole degree in that.
Probably so. Also, I'm gonna conveniently choose which things are people and which things are not people.
Okay, great.
So, which just doesn't matter, whatever. So let's starting with the tyrosinase and the tyrosine,
mm-hmm.
there are two things that are interacting, right?
Yes.
So let's say that the tyrosine and the tyrosine ACE are working on something together.
Okay.
And they're trying to move, so they're trying to put some parts together, right? Because they're trying to make melanin.
Okay.
And so they've got like a conveyor belt and they've got the things that they need. And one thing that's really important that helps them do what they're doing, which would be probably true in so many types of factories, be some sort of lubricant, like some grease or something like that.
Yeah.
Just like, though, these things need to go together and like put these things together or whatever. There needs to be something there to help that happen or whatever. But you only need a little.
Yeah.
And so it's in a contained way, like in, say, like a little dropper kind of thing, like a mm-hmm. Wizard of Oz little oil can kind of thing or something you can do that's very controlled.
Yes.
Very simple amount. And they've got the tools to also wipe off any excess or whatever. So
yes.
Easy, good thing to have that. So they do that. They put the things together, push it down the conveyor belt, and then it goes to the melanocytes.
It's in the melanocyte already.
Oh, okay. The whole factory is called...
The factory is the melanocyte.
There we go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The factory's melanocyte. Big, huge logo, big letters on the building. And it's being sent down the conveyor belt, and then it is, as it's sort of being shipped out, I guess, it's being shipped out into the hair follicle.
Yes.
And it's on its way. Whatever.
The only thing I would change, I love that analogy. The only thing I would change about it would be the tyrosine is like on the conveyor belt.
Okay.
And so the tyrosinase is the the tyrosinase is probably like the whatever you need to lubricate it. Like it is the conveyor belt that's like doing the work on it.
Okay.
And then there's a person there that's got the lubricant.
Okay. Okay. And
the person is the outside forces that make the hydrogen peroxide that are outside the scope of this.
Okay. And they are adding it in with their little oil cans or whatever.
Yes.
And that's how it's working well when our hair has the color it has when we are of a certain age.
Yes.
But then when we're of another certain age, mm-hmm. at whatever point this happens, which obviously varies for everybody.
I think I read there was like a percentage of how likely your hair is to come back after the age of 30. There's like X percent of chance for your hair, and it increases by 10% every year for each new hair to come back gray.
Interesting.
Okay, carry on.
So what happens when hair turns gray in this factory would have to be something to the effect of there is just way more lubricant than we need. And it's actually it's not helping anymore. It's just totally inhibiting our factory. Like we can't do anything. We can't hold on to stuff. Everything's slippery.
Everything's slippery.
We're all like, whoa, you know, so we just can't get any work done. So the whole factory is just like shut down.
Because
like
a guy named Catalase just quit.
Yeah. Catalase was like, I am out of here. I was screwing those lids onto the oil can things, keeping it at bay. And now there's just oil everywhere.
Yes.
Our huge drum burst or something like that.
Yeah.
And it just flooded the factory and there is just no cleaning this up.
Yep.
Unless we get those people with the like Dawn soap and the like with the ducks to come in here.
But now it's at the point that there's so much oil that even those guys they can't do it because they're the other things that were reversing the damage.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so that just means factory shut down, no terazine and terazinase interacting, assembling things, and sending melanin out of the melanocyte into the follicle. It's just not happening. And is anything missing?
No, I love that. I'm going to just like revisit your analogy. So we have the tyrosine as the building blocks going down this conveyor belt, and then the tyrosinase is like the machine or whatever putting things together.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a guy named Catalase who's cleaning up the mess. And in case Catalase isn't doing his job well, or in case other things mess up our, you know, system, there's some cleanup crew.
Yeah.
And those are the other enzymes that kind of are backup. And the guy named Catalase, what he's cleaning up is the excess of the lubricant, which is the hydrogen peroxide, because the hydrogen peroxide helps this process go.
And here, so whenever our in our fog in that whole area, when it starts happening, it starts doing too much hydrogen peroxide. Is it that the production of hydrogen peroxide has gotten too high? Is that the catalyst is like falling asleep on the job, or do we know?
I think it's that the catalyst is falling asleep on the job. There's not as many catalase molecules as you'd expect, according to this paper.
Okay.
From what I interpreted of it.
And so
it seems like that's kind of declining.
So if they could find a way to keep the catalase guy, the person that's has that role in this factory, they could find a way for that role to continue being filled adequately, our hair probably would not go gray.
Yes. And they did talk about some things that they were trying that were really interesting, but it felt like it was too much to put in one episode. I'm thinking about doing like maybe graying part two, which is like, here's the things that here's extra information that I couldn't figure out how to put in the basics, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of going deeper, but they talked about that. Like, oh, we tried this and it worked not in human real life situations, and now we need to try it in human real life situations, see if that works, you know. So there was talk of that. And there was like also information about stress and things that I was and like smoking and whatever that I was like,
this is
a lot of information that it feels like this would be better in a part two.
Yeah. You know, you should look at that is not a scientific peer reviewed journal, but might be an interesting tidbit or whatever. You know what Project Blueprint is? Have you heard of that guy?
No.
Okay. One of those weird, like, my algorithm on YouTube showed me this stuff. And so I feel like I've been aware of it for a long time, but I've not really paid that much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this guy who is wealthy by other means of his business and stuff, and sold his business and has a lot of money. And he decided to make it his mission to invest in as many things as possible and test it on himself to see if he can make himself live as long as possible. So like there's a lot of things that people do papers about, like here's some things that might help, you know, bring your hair back from being gray. We're not sure if it'll work or not, but if something could make the catalase never stop working, then theoretically it might help. So he is just deciding to do a bunch of those things himself. Obviously not like he doesn't do anything absolutely insane that could kill him. He's pretty like, you know, I don't know, careful about that, some of that stuff, but he's also doing things that just aren't proven mm-hmm. that he's willing to try on himself to see. And so he's very, I don't want to talk badly about him. Very unique person. And he's very obsessive about it and very, very willing to talk to anyone who will listen about it and does a lot of videos. He has one specifically about all these things he's trying to do to keep, to get his hair to stop being gray, because his hair, he's in his like late 40s, I think, and to like reverse it. So he's doing a bunch of things that aren't proven, but he's doing it from papers. So he's not just saying like, I heard a snake oil salesman say this. He's going off of papers.
Peer-reviewed journal articles.
Yes, he is very much into the actual science of stuff, not the whoever said whatever. Someone's uncle has an oil that will do it.
Wow.
And also hair loss, trying to prevent hair loss that's already happened or from continuing to happen, and then see if he can try to reverse stuff. Well, a whole video about
that. I personally am sad that this guy has that much money and he's wasting it on that instead of helping people.
Yeah, he is wasting a lot of money. But he also is, when he talks, and who knows if this will prove to be true, but he seems to think that if he can, with the money he has, can test a bunch of stuff on himself, that it could lead to some beneficial discoveries. Because he's doing a lot of stuff that's not cosmetic. That's not about your hair.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
About blood sugar and sleep and all kinds of stuff. So you'll probably find a balance of like, that's really weird. Why would you waste money on that? And also like, oh, that's good. We should probably all...
He's in some ways trying to subvert the system that's like really slow of academia and also mm-hmm. that has all this like politics involved. And
Yeah, I think he's basically like, I have money and I'm going to test it on myself. So just let me do it.
Yeah.
And... yeah, maybe there's one thing he'll find out and we'll be like, okay, well, he spent a lot of money, but so would, you know, all the other research.
Yeah.
And he found out something, but anyway, not endorsing his methods at all, but it's just interesting.
That would be interesting to look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you could look at the papers he drew from too, there's probably a lot of overlap and you might be like, oh, this is what he's doing. You might understand better than someone like me. But anyway, maybe between now and the next
one, I can look at that.
Yeah, and see how weird it is. But
one thing I do realize I forgot to say is that the way that the hydrogen peroxide hurts the enzyme is through something we've talked about is oxidative stress or oxidative damage, which is where there's like an imbalance of how many radicals there are versus there not being radicals. And I likened it to like, oh, it just basically explodes the cell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the method.
Okay.
I just realized I didn't mention that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think that was a good description and a great analogy.
Okay.
I think you did a really good job.
That was tough. There's a lot of words.
It's almost just like catalase. he gets older and he can't keep up with the machine anymore. Yeah. Just like, our hair as we get older.
He's like, I've been messier in this factory. Yeah. I'm in this factory just to take it open.
Yeah, that was good. You did a really good job of taking all that information and like taking it down into like a manageable scene. So I thought that was a really good one. Good job.
Thank you. And also, it was you. That was like the way it seemed like it. I was imagining it while you were saying it.
Cool.
That. Those number of steps, I don't know, like, it's hard to keep track of, but
yeah,
it also makes sense that it's that complicated and it's that hard to, like, figure out how to fix. Like, if it was, like, a simple thing, we probably would figure it out by now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Also, the only analogy I could come up with was, you know, I like to add a little bit of sugar to my coffee, so it, like, takes the edge off, makes it a little bit tastier. It's not as, like, if it's got a little bit of bitterness or whatever. But if I add too much sugar to my coffee, then it's gross. And that's how tyrosinase feels about hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, that's good though. Because there's the too much of a good thing kind of deal. It's like, it really can't make a huge difference.
But that analogy breaks down because there's no catalase and there's no like backup cleaning crew to help out catalase, you know. So your analogy was better, but
it's like you could add more coffee so it dilutes it back, but there's no more coffee because you ran it. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, so it breaks down. Yours is better. Mine is only good for the one like tiny piece of the thing, but yours was good. Well, I really like that. Factory
does seem like it's a little bit, it's helpful, but it's also, you could maybe reach for that analogy for everything in the body.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not a bad thing. I don't know.
That's true. Okay. So then the next thing I was going to say is there's two things. Is one is there's that phenomenon of like overnight. Okay. Your hair turns white overnight because of a traumatic event. Well, it doesn't seem like that is true. It does not happen overnight. There's not clear evidence of that.
Yeah. So people were saying that the hair, all the whole length of hair.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. That seems like
not possible.
Twin Peaks only.
Right. But people do, there are rumors that that happens, but it seems like what's more likely to happen is, although we don't have a lot of evidence on this, stress and smoking cigarettes, things like that can make you, your hair go gray faster than your genetics would indicate.
Mm.
And if you have a traumatic event, there is a potential for you to experience a known phenomenon that causes your hair to fall out, like 3 to 4 months later. It's like basically your hair kind of goes through cycles and it gets like shocked enough to where it all, it like enters the shedding cycle. It like stops growing and then in all sheds.
Wow.
4 to 6 months later.
Dang.
And so if that happens and you're over a certain age, the likelihood that the hair will grow back gray is higher. Mm-hmm. It's like every year it increases more and more. And so you're more likely for your hair to start to turn gray naturally, but you like sped up the process where you're losing a lot of hair at once and then it comes back gray. And so naturally your hair might, or like slowly your hair might start to turn gray. Normally happens faster because it all falls out sooner. So that is what they think is actually happening when someone like prematurely grays in a high volume.
Okay.
And that happens to women, like even pregnant women, when they give birth, it's such a traumatic impact on your body that you lose a lot of hair. So a lot of women are like, oh, postpartum hair loss is really terrible. Like 3 to 6 months after, it's because you had this traumatic experience. But if you were maybe undergoing that traumatic experience and you were 40 or 45, there might be a higher likelihood that your hair would grow back gray after that, because you have a higher likelihood of any piece of hair that falls out coming back gray.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yes, 100%.
Nice. The other thing I was going to say is the texture of gray hair is different. And I have a theory. This is just a theory, chemistry off the cuff. Is if you have excess hydrogen peroxide in your hair, it could be damaging that hair very minusculely enough to where it changes the texture.
I see.
And that's my theory. That's not backed in science. That's just the only thing. Well, it's backed in some science, but it's not like, oh, and this research suggested. That's just like what my science brain thinks could be based on the science I know.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm choosing to believe at this time because I couldn't find anything else. But I'll dive deeper into it before we do gray hair part two.
Nice. Awesome. And we'll get to see if this theory is proven.
or if there's any other theories.
Yes. Yes. This hypothesis, if you will.
I just also really love, this could maybe be one of our little category things, but you know, when it was like last category, what's something so I love looking at hair under a microscope. It's so satisfying. The little like knots. If you ever feel like there's like a little bump at the bottom of your hair and you put it under, there's like literally little tiny knots.
Oh my gosh.
Or split ends look crazy under a microscope.
And what do they call like the like kind of scale looking things, like cuticles, aren't they?
The way that the like outer layer of your hair is like, looks like a tile.
Yes.
Sort of, or like a, like roof shingles. Yeah. It's also crazy because I would sometimes get, like these little white dots is what they look like to the human eye. And if I pulled on them, it would rip.
Oh yeah.
And if you look at that under a microscope, it's like frayed. And then there would just be like one tiny part in the middle that was still. And if you put stress on it, you could like watch it break. Looking at hair under a microscope is so satisfying. If I could get a microscope to do that now, I'll probably spend hours. I mean, I spent so much time looking at my hair under microscopes.
That sounds so fun.
It was so satisfying.
Yeah.
But it was also like kind of embarrassing. So I wouldn't like, wants me to walk in on me doing it. So I'd only do it if I was like alone in the lab, you know? Yeah. So I didn't get to do that as much as I wanted. But when I did, it was so satisfying.
Dang, that's cool.
Have you ever looked at something under a microscope? Was it really enjoyable?
I have. It's been a long time. I mean, I certainly did that in the chemistry class I took in college, right? Probably.
I don't know. I think maybe in biology.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't take biology.
Pull up a little hair under a microscope, and this is what the little knots look like.
Wow. There's the
That's a more advanced one, but maybe so. Google hair under a microscope, and maybe see the like. I typed in hair under microscope frayed, so I could maybe try to see the thing I'm talking about.
So maybe the last time I did was back in. It might have been back in high school. I took AP biology in my senior year, and then biology in my freshman year. But I kind of have a vague memory of us looking at some rocks under microscopes when I took geology.
Oh, that's cool.
I kind of feel like we might have done that because I just feel like I've interacted with microscopes in college, but I can't remember why I would have.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't remember when I first looked at my hair under a microscope, but I definitely did it in the OCHEM lab.
Oh, I know what it was. I took that racquetball class. That's what it was.
That got me. I thought he was serious. Sorry. It's because I'm distracted looking at these hair pictures.
You were like, why would y'all do that?
Okay. Yes. I was like, to look at the racket things. This is like a pretty accurate of like what it looked like. Maybe, I don't know, can you do that thing where it's like, oh, here's a picture of it under a microscope? Or people could Google it if you're, you know.
Yeah, let's do it. But to me, the exact one you want me to do.
I like these ones like that. This is really what it would look like a lot of times when I looked at it under, where you could see like the light back behind it. It was satisfying.
That's cool.
Anyway, so that's like a thing that I really love looking at under a microscope.
That's cool.
Anyway, this was fun. Thanks for letting me tell you about graying hair.
Thanks for telling me.
And my question for you is, do you have anything fun from this week that you want to share?
Do I have anything fun from this week that I'm willing to share?
I have one that I'm like ready to share.
Then why don't you share yours? And then by the time you finish, I will have something.
Okay. So Mason and I are planning a big car camping trip this summer, which you already know about, but I don't think our listeners do. But we're going to go to Yellowstone and Grand Teton and Glacier National Park. And so if any of you have been there and you have any tips or whatever, let us know. Or if you're from Montana or Wyoming, I think is where Yellowstone is, and you want to give us like places to stop along the way, I don't know, hit us up. But we're car camping, and I have talked about that a little bit, and we have a whole car camping setup where I have this platform, whatever. But that means that if I want to change at any point, I have to be laying down.
Right.
And that's annoying. And so.
Unless you turn your car.
On its side. But I don't have the capacity to do that. So here's what I figured out. So I opened up my little my gate at the back. And there's these little handles. And I sort of modeled this off of something I saw online, but I made it different. I bought shower curtains.
Nice.
And I hung two shower curtains where they overlap in the middle. And then I sewed magnets in on the side. So they can magnet to the side of my car. And then they hang at like the front part.
Yes.
And so it goes all the way from the top of the gate when it's open to the ground. And it kind of makes a little door where you like go in between the two little curtains. And I can stand up and change and you can't see in.
That's awesome.
I was so excited. I did post it on, I made like a little TikTok on my personal TikTok to show how it worked. And it's like, I love that I'll be able to stand up and change and no one, we tried to just like hang a sheet over the edge and it didn't work because it was like, I felt like it was above my knee height, you know? So it's like if any blast of wind comes in here, everyone's seeing more than I want them to see. And this is like, it's secure, it's long, it's easy to hang up and take down. I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
And so that's my fun thing that I did.
I thought you were going to say, I think your method ended up being a lot better. What we would do as kids, and this was more like a like if we had like a couple times we would like be on a road trip and we'd like swim in a river that was on the way or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we needed to change, but it was like literally there was, we were just like at a place that didn't have anything like that, kind of just out in the middle of nowhere. What we would do is we'd open up both doors on our car, mm-hmm. like the passenger door and then the back seat door or whatever, and then put like a towel blocking the opening. So you basically have a stall. So the left and the right are covered. You have to figure out a way to cover the front, which you could just put a towel like hanging on those two, both of the doors over yeah. both of them. And then you've got a little room.
Little stall. Mm-hmm. Well, that probably would have been smart too.
This but yours with the magnets and all that kind of stuff. It. Yeah. You have more room for sure. And if you're going to be doing that a lot, that room will be helpful. And you can have easy access to the back of your car where your suitcase
all
or whatever
stuff is. Yeah. Yeah.
So
we have little packing cubes that we put under this like platform with all our clothes.
Nice. So. Nice. Yeah. Very yeah. smart.
We did a like when we tried it with the sheet, it was okay. Like for, to change for the top half, but I did not feel comfortable taking off my pants in that, like to change my shorts.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I don't think so. I like made Mason, I think, stand outside and hold it while I did that or something. So yes, I'm much more excited about this. I think it'll be, yeah, it is nice. Like you have all your clothes there. So whatever you need is like right there in the car. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's awesome.
So I felt really proud of myself for engineering that. Mm-hmm. I like modeled this off some other stuff, but I made it specific to our car and our needs and it worked out so well. And yeah. So if you want to try to go hunt down my personal Tiki Talkie and find it. It's my screw around Tiki Talkie. It's where I just post random whatevers. Then maybe you could see it. Not you, Jam. I was talking to the people listening.
Yeah. Because yeah. I don't venture into the
Tiki Talkies.
TikTok world. I let it have its time. here's my thing. I thought of a really good one.
Okay.
I, on Friday, I was eating lunch with a guy we both know at a local cool Italian market place. It's a little like Italian market and restaurant.
What is it called?
Di Abruzzo.
I've never been there.
Oh, you gotta go.
That sounds great.
You 100% gotta go.
I went to an Italian restaurant that I did not like this weekend.
Well, you should have been at Di Abruzzo.
Yeah, apparently.
So what's cool is they've got, you know, aisles of stuff you can buy that yeah. they've imported that they have the hookup on.
What?
That you can't just get at like the average grocery store. Now, maybe there's other places that have it, but like a, maybe a, like a kind of world
market type.
Market type of thing or whatever. But they've got great stuff there. So we ate there and then I was walking the aisles afterward and had a really good sandwich for lunch and then was looking at stuff and they had like a lot of great stuff. And so what we decided to do was that night, Friday night, to make our own pizzas, which I hadn't,
we
hadn't done
that. We used to do that all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah. I hadn't done that in a long time. So what I did is I was planning on buying stuff to make my own sauce, which I've usually what I've done. And I always say so good to like actually get the right kind of tomatoes that are canned that we usually can't just get fresh around here.
Yeah.
But they're canned and you mash them yourself and there's nothing else added to them. No sugar, no other stuff added. You add your own stuff, blah, blah, blah. But then they're like, oh, we have like this really good tomato sauce that's made from those exact tomatoes. It's in this can. It doesn't have other stuff crazy added to it. It just has like
and it's already made.
Already made. Got basil and some other stuff in there.
No
but it's
sugar
like,
or anything?
No sugar added. Very simple. Yes. So they're like, get this. I was talking to them. They're so helpful. So they're like, get this. This is going to be a better bang for your buck. And you don't have to like, you know,
do it.
Mash it yourself and do all the stuff yourself. And then I was looking at some of the other stuff. And then they're like, what do you already have figured out for your dough? And I was like, oh, I don't. Like I've had a dough recipe that I've used for making pizza before. But they're like, well, do you want to just get some more dough? I was like, yes, of course I do. I just like hadn't missed.
Did you know how to make the dough, but they make it homemade?
Mm-hmm. So I'd missed it, but like they have various kinds in their fridge there. You can just buy. And it was like $2 for a ball, something like that.
But it's like fresh dough.
Yes. Yep. That they make there themselves.
What? Why have you never? I feel so sad that you've been holding out on me.
I've only been to this place once before this time, It was my first time engaging in the whole grocery side. So
wow,
I'm telling you pretty quickly.
And it's local?
Yes.
Like in this city? Yes. Not in like in DFW. This city.
Yeah, on South Elm. Yep. So I
oh my gosh, this is more exciting than learning about how great hair works.
So I got the dough and it's like two something for like a I can't remember how many ounces the ball is, but it's supposed to be one ball would be like one large pizza. So I got two of those. Cut it in fourths so we could make individual pizza. So I ended up being eight crusts. Wow. I'm not the most experienced with working with dough. So that's where some of my experience made some of the pizzas a little oddly shaped.
That's okay.
But we made these pizzas and I've already before made my own Alfredo sauce before. Mm-hmm. So I did some of that. So some people could
that. I've had some of that. That's good.
And then so we made our own pizzas and have pizza stone and blah, 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 blah. And they were so freaking
did you good. Want to say a different word there?
Who knows? Who knows what I said in my heart?
Sounds amazing.
And I've done this before. It's just that like getting their sauce
that's
was
like
great.
So easy. It's like the path. So mm-hmm. many times Mason's been like, should we make our own pizzas? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make the dough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. And I bet they have good tomatoes, like maybe even in the market.
Yeah. And they had some and I almost bought some of those. But like, I think some of the kinds that are so great for really good sauce just might just be hard to like get all the way here.
Yeah.
Still not just fresh.
Yeah.
If you can them, even if you didn't add anything to them, it's just going to help them stay good.
Well, thank you for telling me as quickly as possible.
Yes, you're very welcome. And we have both made pizzas before, and I would say this is the best time I've ever done it.
Wow.
They just tasted so darn good. So anyway.
Well, that's exciting. And also like so little work for such high quality ingredients. Oh,
yeah. Making a lot of them is hard because you can't just have a bunch of them in the oven at the same time.
Yeah.
But so many other things were so much
for
easier.
For pizza night, we just always like, it's like you build yours and then you put it in mm-hmm. and then you take it and then you mm-hmm. just got to eat it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to, because one of those balls could make one large pizza, you could just do that and that would save a lot of your time. If everyone agreed. Mm. On what they yeah. wanted, or you could just put different things in different parts of the pizza.
Yeah.
You could just flatten into one huge circle and just bake that.
How big?
I don't know.
Like 12 inches?
I think they said like more like 16 or 18 inches.
Jeez. Like I could take that and cut it in half and then me and Mason could have one large mm-hmm. and then we could like freeze the other part mm-hmm. for another day. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is amazing. Thank you for telling me about that. And thank you for making a great analogy for graying hair. And now I'm just trying to get out of here and go to that store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If you hurry right now. Nope. It's nighttime. Well, thank you for teaching us. And if you have a question about something in your everyday life that you think might be chemistry, we want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Could be a great episode idea like this one. It could be a really good question for our Q&A, Q&R episodes.
A really good local pizza place, mm-hmm. Italian shop.
Yeah. If you have some pizza tips, we want to hear those too. they might not make it on the podcast, but they might make it into our tummies. So anyway, reach out to us on our website at chemforyourlife.com. That's chemforyourlife.com to share your thoughts and ideas. If you'd like to help us keep our show going and contribute to cover the cost of making it, you can join our super cool chemmunity of patrons on patreon.com/chemforyourlife. Helps us keep the show going. You get to have some perks. You get to spend some time with us, interact with us, see some behind the scenes kind of stuff. It's great. We'd love for you to join us over there. If you're not able to, though, you can still help us by subscribing in your favorite podcast app, rating, writing, review on Apple Podcasts, or subscribing on YouTube and leaving a comment over there, something like that. Those things help us to share chemistry with even more people.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by Melissa Collini and Jam Robinson. Jam Robinson is our producer, and this episode was made possible by our financial supporters on Patreon. It means so much to us that you want to help make chemistry accessible to even more people. Those supporters are I looked up her name and I forgot to write it down. I asked her about it. Pause, please.
I think, wasn't it Ciara?
I don't know. And I promised I would say it right. Okay. So
yeah,
it is Ciara.
Oh, it was Ciara.
Ciara, okay. Not Ciara. Ciara. Cool. Okay. You can leave all that in if you want. That's our commitment to our patrons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sierra L, John T, Avishai B, Bree M, Brian K, Carol R, Chris and Claire S, Chelsea B, Derek L, Elizabeth P, Emerson W, Hunter R, Jacob T, Christina G, Katrina H, Latila S, Lynn S, Melissa P, Nicole C, Rachel R, Sarah M, Stephen B, Suzanne P, Timothy P, Venus R, Erica B, Cullen R, and Jeanette N. Thank you all for everything you do to make Chemistry for Your Life happen. And an extra special thanks to Bree, who often creates illustrations to go along with our episodes of Chemistry for Your Life. You can see those over on our YouTube channel.
And if you'd like to learn more about today's chemistry lesson, you can look at the references in our show notes or on the description of the video on YouTube.
Yay, chemistry!
Yay, chemistry!
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Welcome to a trip you'll never forget in Denver, where summer sunshine sparks mountain adventure, where neighborhood strolls lift spirits sky high, and where music takes center stage at Red Rocks. Catch a baseball game at Coors Field, step into new dimensions at Meow Wolf, and take flavor to the next level under the stars at a Michelin restaurant. Denver, always welcome. Plan your trip at visitdenver.com/summer.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything, because anything can happen after noon.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.